Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Thursday morning. Hope you're having a great Thursday so far. This is Catholic Connection, as you just heard, and always great to speak with you. And I'm very excited about our interview today with someone very well known to our EWTN viewers and listeners, and you've seen him on EWTN many times with his special programs and his terrific children's book. And we're so excited to introduce to you a brand new book from our friend Anthony DiStefano, who also, of course, works with Priests for Life. This book is so sweet in the sense of the illustrations. Again, his children's books and the illustrations are just so beautifully done. And I talked a little bit more about this in detail earlier in my program, the first hour of Catholic Connection. What I love about Anthony's books is that even though they are written for children with a certain age range in mind, every single children's book that he's written is such as chock full of messages for adult believers. And this one especially, The Seed That Was Afraid to Be Planted, is all about getting out of our comfort zone. And I love this analogy of the seed in the drawer with his friends, the other seedlings, and all of a sudden, the guy in the mansion, which is an image of God, decides, well, I'm going to take you out and plant you. And that was the one thing that this little seedling feared the most, leaving his friends, leaving his comfort zone, his perfect little world in this drawer with all his, you know, closest besties. And then he goes to be planted. And what happens next? Really, really important lessons. And so many of us, I know for myself, and when I really decided that, okay, I need to let go and let God and take a whole new direction, it's very scary. And you kind of feel like that little seedling in the dark. You feel all alone. But we need to remember that God is always with us. And as it says in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So Anthony is coming up, and we are going to open up the phone lines at 15 minutes past the hour to take your calls. And he is, again, as he always does, every single time he has a book, he gives away tons of them. He's just that kind of a guy, very, very generous, and wants to get these books into the hands of as many people, especially those who are working with children at the school level, or maybe you're a homeschool teacher or homeschooler and work in a homeschool group. This would be wonderful. Now, I just think it'd be a great book just to have. I mean, it's really, really well done. So Anthony's coming up. We'll give you the phone number right before we finish and take the break and wrap up with the news. And we want you to ask a question. All right? We really want you to think about. We're going to talk to Anthony about the book and the life lessons and what he's hoping not only children but adults will learn. But we want you to ask a question, and then hopefully we'll be able to take your call. Andrew will be taking calls this morning after we break, starting at about 15 minutes after the hour. So don't call between now and then, because Andrew has to do the news with me and, you know, get everything set up for the program this morning. So we'll start taking your calls and we'll give you the number before the break. But ask a question about maybe how this can be used, or maybe just share something, one of Anthony's other books that have meant so much to you. We do want to give you this resource, and Anthony's been very, very generous. I'm not sure how many free books he has, but we also want you to check it out on Sophia Institute, their website, who's publishing this book. All right, so Sophia Institute Press, you can check that out, and it'll also be on the religious catalog, and we'll put it up, as I mentioned, in our archive section as well. Some big breaking news this morning. Congressman Elijah Cummings has passed away. He was only 68 years old. And also, it looks like the union, the UAW, that's a big story affecting a lot of people in many states. UAW reaching a tentative agreement with the auto giant General Motors, and big storms out east. Let's take a look at the news now, see what's happening in and around our world on this Thursday morning, October 17th. Leaders in the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops applauding the National Council on Disability for its recent research on the risks of assisted suicide for people with disabilities. A council saying it found, listen to this, the most prevalent reasons offered by someone requesting assisted suicide directly related to unmet services and support needs. Court documents showing federal prosecutors rejecting a plea offer from the man accused of killing 11 people at a Pittsburgh synagogue. Robert Bowers had been seeking to avoid the death penalty if convicted by agreeing to a sentence of life in prison. He is accused of the massacre at the Tree of Life synagogue in October of last year. His trial is expected to begin in September of next year. He's facing more than 60 federal charges. Mike Bauer reports, as we mentioned earlier, that Congressman Elijah Cummings has passed away.
The longtime Democrat representative from Maryland, chair of Washington's House Committee on Oversight and Reform, was 68 years old. The 13-term congressman had been absent since he underwent an undisclosed medical procedure in September that he said would only keep him away from work for a week, but he had been suffering from long-standing health challenges. A tweet from his office said he died this morning at approximately 2:45 at Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore. Representative Elijah Cummings, dead at 68.
The United Auto Workers Union announcing they have reached a tentative agreement to end their strike against General Motors. The proposal must first be approved by the UAW's National Council, which will hold a meeting in Detroit today. GM workers in Ypsilanti, Michigan, near Ann Arbor, very pleased with the news.
Well, I'm glad if they got a tentative agreement. The leadership of the UAW wouldn't have accepted a bad agreement, so we should have a good agreement. That sounds great to me.
This is the longest national strike against the automakers since way back in 1970, and it's cost General Motors over $1 billion. The impact on striking workers has been estimated to be in the hundreds of millions of dollars. If the National Council does approve the proposal, the agreement will be sent to all union locals for the membership to consider, and a ratification vote, though, is expected to take over a week. The other big news this morning is that storm out east. Tri-state residents bombarded with rain and wind as a major coastal storm, prompting flooding concerns of those living in flood-prone areas on Long Island last night. These residents say the rain has not let up once.
The weather's crazy. It just came out of nowhere.
You got to go slow. There's a lot of puddles out there. Pretty nasty. On a scale of 1 to 10, it's a solid 7.
More than 7,000 PSE&G customers are also without power on Long Island as high winds ripped through the area, toppling trees in Freeport. Some areas are seeing 2 inches of rain in just 8 hours. In addition, even after the rain lets up, winds may persist and continue to gust up to 60 miles an hour. Vice President Mike Pence and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo will be in Turkey to talk about the situation in Syria. The two will reportedly meet with Turkey's president to press him to stop his military from invading northern Syria. President Trump pulling U.S. troops from the area, allowing the Turkish military to move in. Meanwhile, GOP senators are criticizing the president for that decision to withdraw troops from northern Syria as tensions rise with Turkey. Speaking at the Capitol yesterday, South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham among those expressing great concern.
He's making the biggest mistake of his presidency by assuming the Kurds are better off today than they were yesterday. That is just unbelievable.
Utah Senator Mitt Romney said, shame on us for putting the Kurds in a dangerous situation. Florida Senator Marco Rubio says there's a potential for ethnic cleansing against the Kurds, and it will be hard to reverse the damage. Chicago public school teachers are officially on strike. Chicago Teachers Union President Jesse Sharkey saying it's up to the mayor, Lori Lightfoot, to decide how long this work stoppage will last.
We intend to be on strike until someone comes with good faith and where we can earnestly say that looks like a solution to us. That's going to really make conditions better, not just something that's going to appease us and get us back in the door. That's not what we're looking for.
Thousands of educators hitting the picket lines this morning. This after 10 months of bargaining between the CTU and the city failed to reach a contract agreement. This is a union's first open-ended walkout since 2012. And all Chicago public school classes are canceled. And that leaves over 300,000 students out of the classroom until a new deal can be worked out. Megyn Kelly says NBC News needs to allow outside investigators in to figure out how it handled sexual misconduct allegations against former Today Show host Matt Lauer. Kelly on Fox News last night questioned about the network's knowledge or NBC's knowledge of the allegations prior to the release of a new book by Ronan Farrow.
The company's whole defense to Ronan's book essentially has been, that's the first we ever knew about Matt Lauer, because we didn't even know that Matt Lauer was doing this. If they had no settlements of any kind and no complaints about Matt Lauer prior to Brooke Neville's coming forward, sure, it might be. But is that true?
The book Catch and Kill claims disgraced movie mogul Harvey Weinstein threatened to expose Matt Lauer if NBC went forward with Farrell's investigation into Weinstein's alleged sexual crimes. Farrell's reporting didn't make it to NBC and was instead published in The New Yorker, where it won a Pulitzer. Kelly, who was released by NBC after defending blackface costumes, saying there needs to be an independent look into whether the network execs put dollars ahead of decency. A California jeweler is the latest parent to be sentenced in the college admissions case. Marjorie Clapper will spend 3 weeks in prison for paying $15,000 to arrange for her son to cheat on a college entrance exam. Clapper also admitting that she also claimed on his college applications that her son was black or Latino. She pleaded guilty to charges of conspiracy to commit honest services fraud as well as mail fraud. And a Utah trooper is being called a hero after pulling an unconscious man out of a car just seconds before it was hit by a train. A dramatic dash cam video showing State Trooper Ruben Correa running to a vehicle parked on the tracks north of Salt Lake City, desperately trying to get the man out just in time.
And I heard the horn from a train. I looked to my left and I was able to observe that train was coming pretty fast, anywhere between 50 and 80 miles an hour.
Wow, bless his heart. Another trooper can be heard yelling that a train is coming. Correa pulled the man out just in time. And the oncoming train smashing into the vehicle, sending it flying some 30 feet. The Utah Highway Patrol says a crash on the interstate sent the car into the railroad tracks early yesterday morning. The driver of the vehicle and the trooper, thanks be to God, both unhurt. 11 minutes past the hour. It's a Thursday morning edition of Catholic Connection, a special edition of sorts. We're going to be talking with our friend Anthony DeStefano, leaving plenty of time for your phone calls and your questions. He's so generous and yet again giving away free copies of his brand new book for children. But it's not just for children. I think it's also for adults. All of his books are like that. I'm just saying, there's great stories, great lessons, all based, of course, on our faith. This one in particular, More Catholic Than Most, he joins us, and it's got some pretty incredible endorsements, too. We will share, do tell, and we will. The phone number, 877-573-7825. Now, Andrew does need to take down your information, so be patient, and when you call in, be very specific and speak slowly and clearly so that he can put down the information and so Anthony can send you a book. We are taking your calls and your questions. First, we're going to talk a few minutes to this great author and our good friend here at EWTN and Priest for Life, Anthony DeStefano. We'll be right back.
Beth, why is our health insurance so expensive? Our premium and deductible are so high. Plus, I don't want my family to support a company that doesn't share our values.
Kim, there is another option. Check out CMF Curo. It's an affordable Catholic healthcare ministry where members share their medical costs in community, and it's pro-life. We joined last year and have saved thousands, all without compromising our values. Just go to MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
CMF Curo sounds exactly like what our family needs.
Yeah, that's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Hello, this is Steve Ray. I'd like to invite you to go on a pilgrimage with me. Why a pilgrimage? It's life-changing. It makes the Bible come alive. We have several coming up in the fall and winter of this year. St. Paul Cruise, 9 biblical sites, Mexico and Guadalupe. It's very safe and beautiful, by the way, and many to the Holy Land.
Pick the pilgrimage that's right for you. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the pilgrimage link. There's 2 coming up and a lot more to come. AveMariaRadio.net.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria mutual funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual fund. You can learn more about the Ave Maria mutual funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. The Catholic faith has enemies. We're Catholics. We have enemies. They are a danger to the faith. And yet we're called to defend the faith, to instruct the ignorant, and to love our enemies. These enemies abuse divine revelation. They abuse science and religion. They abuse our history and our past. They abuse power and wealth. We have to learn how to deal with our enemies by picking up a copy of my book, Dangers to the Faith. You can find it online at AveMariaRadio.net.
A beautiful new book from our friend Anthony DeStefano, an author of many best-selling books for children and other books as well. And this one, Most recent is published by our friends at Sophia Institute, the website sophiainstitute.com, and the book, The Seed Who Was Afraid to Be Planted. Anthony, I have to say, this one, I think, is one of my, if not my favorite. And every single time you do a children's book, the illustrations just blow me away. So tell us, is it the same illustrator you've used before? Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, good morning, and thanks for having me. And I try to mix up my illustrators based on the content of the book. This illustrator, his name is Erwin Madrid, and he's worked with me on one other book before, A Travel Guide to Heaven for Kids. And he worked on the Shrek, the whole Shrek franchise of movies. So he's a really talented guy. And the reason why I used him was because I wanted some of the later shots in the book to have like this big perspective, this aerial perspective, things shown from the sky to show how grand and beautiful, the life of this seed has become once he becomes a tree.
So the whole story, you get your ideas obviously from Scripture. What struck you about the seed?
You know, I was at Adoration, which I try to go to every week, and I happened to be reading one of the Bibles that were right there in the Adoration Chapel, and I came upon one of the parables that Jesus told about the seed, a grain of wheat has to fall to the ground and die. You know, there's several parables that he talks about, the mustard seed, etc. So on my way home, it just struck me, you know, what a wonderful book for children and adults it would be to tell the parable of the seed from the perspective of the seed. Because a seed who has to fall to the ground and die in order to become, say, a tree or something, of course that seed, if he could talk, he would be afraid of being planted. So I thought, what a great way to deal with the whole subject of fear. Because everyone is so afraid of so many things. The world is a scary place. And children, of course, are frightened of so many things. So I thought it hit me in a moment of revelation, you know, like inspiration, and I just immediately knew it would be a great concept.
So the title of the book is A Seed Who Was Afraid to Be Planted by our friend Anthony DiStefano and published by Sophia Institute Press. And it's endorsed by so many amazing people, including Mike Huckabee and Delilah and our very own Alveda King from Priests for Life. It's just really, as again, so beautifully illustrated. And so this is about a number of issues, really. You mentioned fear, and I think also letting go, letting God. I love the way the book starts out. There once was a seed who lived in a drawer in a room of a mansion by a beautiful shore. So begins this lovely retelling of our Lord's parable of the seed for children's ages 3 and up. The seed who was afraid to be planted, introducing children to a tiny seed content to remain in a safe, cozy drawer with the other seeds. Suddenly a day comes when the gardener who lives in the mansion takes the seed from his drawer and plants him in the ground. Faced with his biggest fear, the seed undergoes a miraculous experience that changes his life forever. So when you're talking about being planted and dying, it has a number of different meanings, correct?
Yes, it's the beginning of new life, as you know. You know, it's a seed, and for a seed to become anything, a flower or a tree or a bush or anything, it has to stop being a little seed. It has to grow. And so there's, and that's the same thing for us. You know, we have to, as Christians, we have to die to ourselves. We hear that all the time. We have to die to ourselves. Why do we have to die to ourselves? Not so we could die, but so that we could be transformed into God, what God has in mind for us, which is always greater and better and bigger than what we have in mind for our own selves. So what you just said about surrendering, that's really the answer to fear. When you surrender to God's will, even when you don't know what's going to happen in the future, God is already in the future. He knows. Right. When you surrender to his will, then you plug into the power source and you allow yourself to all your potential to be actualized.
We're talking with Anthony DiStefano about his latest book, The Seed, Afraid to Be Planted, from Sophia Institute Press. And we already have pretty much a full line, so let's start taking some calls and your questions. Let's go to Cynthia calling from San Antonio, Texas. Hey, Cynthia, do you have a question or a comment for Anthony?
Oh, yes. Good morning to both of you. Yeah, I just have a comment. And I'm a grandma, and I read to my grandson. Praise God for the beautiful books that he writes, because, you know, conversion can come through that. And mm-hmm. That's what I'm counting on for, you know, conversion to come to my daughter, you know, through these books when I read them to him and teach him. And when I do read them to him, you know, he asks, read it again. So it's awesome when he's enjoying it and I see it. And, you know, of course, the drawings and the pictures in those books are awesome.
I know, aren't they adorable?
I'm also a gardener, so I really, really look forward to this one. And I just want to thank him and tell him I am so honored to be a recipient of yet another one of his great books and, you know, always showing all glory to God and everything in his creation. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Cynthia. And you said a couple of things that are so important. The fact that you are interactive with your grandchild when you read the books, that's so important because these books are meant to provide teaching moments to instill the faith in these children. You know, you see what the society is doing out there. They're trying to get the kids at a younger and younger age and instill in them all these secular values. So as parents, grandparents, teachers, uncles, aunts, we have to be, you know, reaching them first and trying to instill in our children these fundamental messages and meaning, Christian meaning and biblical messages early. So that they're prepared for the onslaught and the attack that they're going to face when they get older.
Yeah, thank you so much, Cynthia. Appreciate the phone call. And also, as you mentioned, Anthony, the messages from the culture is anything but about dying to self. It's just the opposite. It's all about me, myself, and I.
Right, and that's a message that leads to, if you go along with that message, it leads to unhappiness and despair, like our culture right now. We do not have a happy society right now, despite all the luxuries and the pleasures and the, you know, technical advances, et cetera. So by getting this message to children early that put your faith in God, trust in God, that's the single most important message that we can give children.
Right.
It's like giving them a protective coat of armor that's going to last them their whole lives. So, again, that's one of the reasons why I wrote this book, because it's something that will help children, not just as children, but as adults.
Let's go down to Ohio. Alfred, also a gardener, calling in on line 6. Hey, Alfred, what's on your mind this morning? Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. The reason why I called in, I do urban gardens. I'm speaking from the Cleveland area. And I've noticed, like, the areas are, there's a lot of family tradition, drug use and lack of employment, you know, and the kids, like, feed off of that. You know, the households are... So anyways, we do a lot of urban gardens. We get the kids out and to participate, you know, in planting and stuff like that. And you could see, you can use the gardening as like Jesus, a parable of plant and the sower. And if the soil's right and knowing what's in the soil, like the word, when you put the seed in, it has something good to feed off of, you know?
Yeah.
Like
beautiful.
God's word.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then over time, if you can't just plant and leave it. You have to, like, you know, take care of it. Trim it. If you trim it down, like, I'm a tree steward myself, so we plant a lot of trees, about thousands of them. But the key thing is, when the tree's planted, you come back in a year and you nurture it, you pay attention to it. You know, you need it. We need them, you know, for our sustenance. And it's a thing of like my motto is back to the garden, you know, because I think we're too much focused on, you know, the world around us, which is not Christ-based, and there's not that love and the honesty, and there's a lot of unselfishness, not empathy, you know. I work with adults with disabilities at Koinonia. We get those children out in the gardens, and it does something. It's miraculously. So, like, the author there, he had some other books, you know. I'm sure there's Carlos Mandel. He wrote The Plant Messiah, that we have to remember. God gave us this planet for ourselves, you know. He wants to nurture it. But we have to take care of each other, you know. But we have to, you know, we have to remember that there is an enemy, you know.
Yeah. Well, and we're almost out of time, but thank you so much, Alfred. You. Great analogies and great comments. And, Anthony, I love what you said about the trees and how you have to trim them and you have to prune. That's a whole other in terms of analogy in Scripture. I remember when Deacon Dom had a garden, and he was always amazed at what would happen. You know, we always say, we want to do what we want to do, and we just want to, you know, blow with the wind and do whatever we want and go anywhere. And if you don't prune, if you don't treat the plants, as Alfred was saying, what happens? They grow onto each other, and then they basically suffocate and die. And so this whole idea of being planted, of the seed dying to self, of us dying to ourselves. There's so many beautiful analogies that we can draw from.
It's cactus meaning, the idea of a garden, obviously, from the Garden of Eden. And God is the greatest example of a gardener. He walked in the garden, and the gardener in this book is a sign or a symbol of God the Father himself, who does just what you said. He plants, he nurtures his creation until it grows and gives forth fruit. So it's packed with meaning for children and adults.
All right, so we have to take a break, and we have full lines, and we'll still take some more calls as soon as we get the information. Eric Dumont is in the studio helping us because we have so many requests for this beautiful book. I do want to remind you that we also have it available at the Ave Maria online bookstore, AveMariaRadio.net, in addition to SophiaInstitute.com. But check it out, and if you get a copy this morning, great. But then I would suggest buying a few to give as a gift and keep one for yourself. I just think this is just so profound, and I get so much meaning from it. My favorite verse in Scripture is John 15:5, that I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man abides in me, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do niente, nothing. We'll be right back.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams, and this is Evidences for Christianity. It took 30 to 60 years after Christ's resurrection for the Gospels to be written. Why weren't they written on the spot? First, the habit of the time was to memorize. Besides, there were no printing presses, scribes were expensive, and illiteracy was high. Second, written records were deemed inferior to an eyewitness who could tell you what happened. Third, the New Testament authors were preoccupied with travel and evangelization, and it's hard to write from a donkey's back. And fourth, the early church expected Christ to return within a few years, so why bother? In the end, these reasons contributed to the broad and quick establishment of the church throughout the known world. And that's evidence for the authenticity of Christianity. To explore more, go to AveMariaRadio.net. Under resources, look for me, Dr. Stan Williams.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
Not everyone who's attracted to the Lord and to a life of service is necessarily meant to be a priest. So there's all kinds of forms. I mean, from, let's say, the brotherhood, if you want to stay within a formal religious context, but then all kinds of ministries within a parish, all kinds of lay ministries that you can do. So not everyone's called to the priesthood. A priest is someone who is dedicated, devoted to ongoing study and ongoing prayer, to be a spiritual father. As Pope Benedict said, one of his wisest remarks, he said, people want many things from a priest, but what they want above all is someone who's a master of the spiritual life. Hey, I'm great at this ministry, and hey, I'm great at organizing this meeting, and hey, I'm great. Fine, but ultimately what the people want is you're a master of the spiritual life. You got to be, therefore, trained in prayer and theology and spirituality and so on.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
28 minutes past the hour. Time is flying by. So many of you with great comments and questions for our guest and good friend from Priest for Life. And, of course, you know him well from his great work that he shared on EWTN. And Anthony DeStefano's latest book, Seed, The Seed Who Was Afraid to Be Planted, from our friends at Sophia Institute. SophiaInstitute.com, and we also have it available at the Ave Maria Radio bookstore, AveMariaRadio.net. And please hang on the line. We want to get you in to speak with Anthony as quickly as possible, but we need you to hold on so Eric can take down your address afterwards. So when you call in and you're able to share your comment or your question with our guest, Anthony, please stay on, and then Eric will take down your information to make sure you get the book. All right, let's go to Maria in San Antonio. And I think, Anthony, based on her concerns and her great points she's making, she is really hitting, I mean, she's the target, one of the targets for your book. Maria, good morning. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Good morning.
And your question or comment for Anthony?
Oh, yes. I had told the guy that answered the phone, my brother just passed away, and my son seen me break down and cry, and he's like, he's scared about death, and I'm just wondering if this kind of book would be able to help him understand.
Okay, so you're saying your brother died recently, is that it?
Yes, okay. He died on Sunday.
And his son is afraid about people around him dying now?
No, my son. My son who's
your son. Okay. All right. Just want to make sure I understood. Okay. Thank you, Maria. Appreciate it. Anthony?
Yes. Well, first of all, deepest condolences. Know that we are praying for you and your whole family. I think the book will help because the book primarily helps in two areas. One, to help children and adults overcome fear, but also to help people who are grieving, children who are grieving. Because this book shows that, you know, the death is not the end of the story. We're afraid. The little seed is afraid of being buried in the ground. He's afraid of being taken out of the life he has in this drawer that he is living in, being buried. He thinks that death is the end, but it's not. He sees that death is not the end of the story, that the end of the story is resurrection and life, and that he grows into a beautiful tree overlooking a beautiful paradise, like heaven. So the book is really, one of the meanings of the book is it's about heaven. So if you're trying to teach your son or anyone in your family about the fact that death is not the end of the story, but that we have heaven afterwards, this is a book that could show them, and I think they'll be very interested in the beautiful illustrations at the end of the book, which go back to what Teresa asked earlier about why I chose this illustrator, Erwin Madrid. I wanted it to be beautiful at the end and show that this is what heaven is like. Death is not the end. Our Christian religion teaches us that the end of the story is life. And so, by all means, this is, I think, a good way to instill that message in this child.
No, thanks, and so appreciate the phone call. And make sure you hang on so we can get you a copy of the book. Okay, let's go to, Caesar in Georgia. Hey, Caesar, what's up? What's on your mind this morning? Line 4. Hi, Caesar.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you? Go ahead, you're on the air with Anthony.
Oh, hey. I just want to thank you for your work, Anthony. I got the book for the Donkey of Love that no one could write, and my kids really loved it.
That's one of my favorites. Isn't that adorable? I love that one.
Yeah, and you know, my kids are, I've been trying to, you know, raise them up as much as I can, you know, in our Catholic faith, of course, not in the way to force them, you know, because they're kids and they're going to learn their own way. And I'm also a faith formation catechist at my parish. And it is, you know, a good way, not just for kids, like you said at the beginning, but also for parents, grown-ups, because even with me, you know, I love stories, like Bible stories that are for kids. They call my attention so much. So it's a good way to bring, you know, families together and for the kids to learn the faith together with the parents. So I can't wait to read the story, listen to the story that he came up with, and, you know, just keep, you know, teaching our kids the faith in a way that, you know, will help them bring up the best version of themselves and put that seed in their hearts.
Amen. Thanks, Caesar. Anthony, any comments?
I didn't get the last part of that, but
he was just talking about being able to teach his own children about the faith in addition to being involved in second grade catechism.
Well, that's incredible. You know, I started out as a catechist, a teacher of second grade children myself. Father Pavone, you know, Teresa, when I first got to meet him, and I had questions about my own faith, the first thing he did was he installed me as a second grade teacher at St. Charles in Staten Island. And so that's one of the reasons why I started writing children's books, actually. So I applaud you and this man for trying to teach as many children as possible. We really need it right now at this time in history.
Thank you so much, Caesar. Appreciate it. Let's see. We have so many calls. Where do I go? Okay, 877-573-7825. Joanne, holding in San Antonio, Texas, on line 6. Hey, Joanne.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. Go ahead. You're on the air with Anthony.
Okay. Hi, Anthony. Thank you for taking my call. I'm really excited about the new book that you've written, and I have 3 grandchildren. And I was calling because I am excited to read to them and show them how they can grow in their Catholic faith and grow to be beautiful in their lives. And I believe that the story itself can give it to them at their level and also to be able to share it with children in our parish here in San Antonio. So I'm really, really excited. I'm not real familiar with all the books that you've written, but I know that I'm going to be a continuing fan about all these books because there's so many, such a need for children right now. And it's planting the seed in them.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Joanne, I also think in reading it myself, I mean, it's my story. I mean, I had my life all perfectly planned and I wanted to stay in my comfort zone. Then God decided, no, I have other plans for you. And boy, did I freak out when that first started to happen. And we're all that seed. We can all identify with it. Right, Anthony?
I think so. I really had I had adults in mind when I wrote the book, more than children even. I know it would be a children's book, but I think all of us can relate to a seed who wants to stay in his comfort zone. You just used that word very well. He lives in a drawer, and everybody lives in a drawer. We all have this comfort zone that we're afraid to leave. You know, we're afraid to get out and face new things sometimes, and especially when bad things happen to us or things that we perceive are bad. So the idea of trusting God and surrendering to his will, that he knows better than us, okay, and that if we do that, he will give us the power, the nourishment, and everything that we need to triumph over whatever change, whatever frightening situation we have to go through, and bring about somehow even a greater good. That's the keystone of our faith for adults and children. So that's why of all my books, even though the Donkey book and the Little Star are I like them very much, to me this is the book that has the most universal value and actually the most the profoundly important value for people.
Gosh, there's so much to talk about with this, and we're already almost at our next break. So let me remind you that when you call in, please hang on. You're all making such great contributions to the show this morning. We're going to take this through the next break because we still have full lines. 877-573-7825 from our friends at Sophia Institute, and we always feature Anthony with his great books. This one, I think, is even more for adults than it is for kids, at least. I don't know, it touched me very deeply because my whole journey really began with letting go and letting God, as all of ours do. But I was in a real tug of war for a long time, and I think so many of us can relate. We'll be right back.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are
communion. As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
In 2017, we filed a federal civil rights lawsuit against the city of Sterling Heights, Michigan, and its mayor, alleging violations of federal and state law. The lawsuit was filed on behalf of 7 city residents who opposed the construction of a large mosque in their Chaldean Christian neighborhood. It was evident then, as it is now, that the American Islamic Community Center, or AICC, wanted to plant the flag in this community of Christians who fled Islamic persecution in Iraq. In February 2017, the city decided not to defend against the specious claims of discrimination made by AICC and the Obama Department of Justice in their lawsuits filed against the city, but instead to capitulate and enter into a consent judgment that granted AICC permission to build the mosque, even though doing so violated local and state zoning regulations. The decision to enter into the consent judgment was made during a city council meeting in which the mayor enforced a speech restriction that prohibited private citizens, including our clients, from making any comments that the mayor deemed critical of Islam in direct violation of the First Amendment. The district court ruled in favor of the city in an opinion fraught with egregious errors. A 3-judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals affirmed on August 14th of this year. We promptly filed a petition asking the entire Sixth Circuit to take up this important case. I'm Robert Muse, co-founder and senior counsel for the American Freedom Law Center, bringing you this Faith and Freedom Minute. You can learn more about the American Freedom Law Center and its fight for your faith and freedom by visiting our website and liking us on Facebook.
Thank you so much for your great questions and comments. It's just great to have these conversations and to express on your heart what's on your mind when you see a book like this. And we all know that we all are called to die to ourselves every single day. I was telling the listeners, Anthony, in my first hour, my favorite saint, whom I was named after, St. Teresa of Jesus, or St. Teresa of Avila, her feast day earlier this week, where she's always talking about, I am yours, here I am, I was made for you, what do you want me to do? And this is basically the process that the little seed goes through, correct?
Yes, exactly. That's right. We don't know what God wants from us. We don't know, but we know that it's better than what we would want for ourselves.
Amen. Amen. The verse 29, Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." That's my husband's favorite verse. Okay, Carol from Virginia, thank you for your patience. And you have a great question. Go ahead. You're on the air with Anthony on line one. Hi, Carol.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for taking that call. I really want to get this for most of my grandchildren, but one is unbaptized in eighth grade, and I'm wondering, is this a book that would reach her, or is there another one of Anthony's books that I should get for her? But also, while I was listening, it occurred to me that there's tremendous pressure in transgender issues here in Virginia, and it occurs to me that a seed is going to grow into what its, you know, what the, what its genetics are, and so it could help children sort out some of that confusion. So that's my comment and my response.
Carol, that's that's yet another meaning that you could have there. It also has a pro-life message too, which we could talk about. That the seed becomes a tree. Starts as a little teeny seed, becomes a big tree. It always retains his individuality. Always is that same individual with rights and so it could be viewed in a pro-life way to this book. But in terms of your eighth grade unbaptized family member, I do think we were talking about this earlier, that the book has a lot of meaning for adults. You know, if you look at if you read the Bible, Jesus' parables are sometimes so simple. I mean, anyone can understand them. A 7-year-old can understand them. But yet, people like Thomas Aquinas, and you know, the most intelligent minds in the universe, could read deep meanings and derive the deep meaning from those parables. This book is not in that league of what our Lord did. But it's supposed to be written as a sort of parable. So what you can do with this eighth grader is say, look, this book here may look like a children's book, but it's actually got a lot of deep meanings and a lot of hidden meanings. And why don't you try to find some of those hidden meanings? You could ask the child that. Because, for instance, in this book, there's a lot of symbolism. You know, what does the gardener stand for? You know, what does the drawer stand for? What about the growing tree? What about the flowers and the fruits and the animals and the children in the book? What could they stand for? Why are there mansions by the sea? What does that mean? And you know, what's the Holy Spirit, the wind that goes through the tree at the end? You know, there are all symbolisms here that you could be a theology student in seminary and maybe not get all of them. So I think that if you handle it the right way and you present the book to them as sort of a riddle, I think they could get a lot out of it.
That's wonderful. And are there suggested questions at the back, or do I have to think them up?
You'll have to think them up, but there are Bible verses at the back. And also, I think another one of my books that I wrote for adults, 10 Prayers God Always Says Yes To.
Oh, that's great. Great book.
I think it's meant for adults, but I think an eighth grader could understand most of that book. And that's a good book to draw somebody into the faith, because it's about prayers that God says yes to every single time.
What was that title, please?
10 Prayers God Always Says Yes To.
Oh, wonderful.
It's one of my most popular books, along with The Travel Guide to Heaven. You can get it on Amazon.com or anywhere else, EWTN, Hallelujah.
Carol, you sound like a very insightful woman and a wonderful grandma, so don't doubt yourself. You'll have no problem coming up with questions, I'm sure. Thank you so much for the call. And I want to go to line 8, and Rosalind has been holding in Kentucky. Thank you for your patience. We have full lines. Remember to stay on the line so we can get your information. Anthony, always so generous. He purchases a number of books to give away free because he wants to get them in your hands, because these are true tools for evangelism. Rosalind, what's your question or comment for Anthony?
Well, I have a grandson that has Down syndrome. He's kind of refusing to. He could learn to read, but he doesn't care to right now. He's 9 years old. He'll be making his first communion in the next year or so, and I also have a great-grandson also making his first communion this next year. And I'm just wondering which one of your books would be most suitable for well, especially the first one with Down syndrome, but also maybe the other one.
You know, I don't mean to not give you a straight answer, but the truth is that every single one of my children's books have been written for children who have to overcome some kind of adversity and problem. You know, some sort of fear. My whole premise in writing these books is that children are small. They're afraid of everything. They've got, you know, so many things are problems for children. So many things are fears for children. You know, just the first day of school. So the donkey that no one could ride.
Hold on. Let him finish, honey. Go ahead, Anthony.
The donkey that no one could ride. Little Star. You know, the puppy that no one wanted. This book, the seed that the sheep that no one could find. All of these books all deal with characters that children can relate to, and that have to overcome difficulties. And yet, with God's help, they are able to make progress. With God's help only. So that's the key to all my books, and so I think that any of them really could intrigue these children.
Does that help you, hon?
With receiving communion for the first time?
I'm sorry, what, hon? Can you repeat that?
Would any of them deal with receiving communion for the first time, really feeling with what it, really knowing the meaning of it and...
Not Anthony's books, but there are other books that we can direct you to. If you were to go to, for example, the Sophia Institute website or our religious bookstore at Ave Maria Radio or EWTN's religious catalog, there are a number of children's books that do deal specifically with the sacraments. And if you want to shoot me an email, I can make some suggestions. Thanks, Rosalind, so much, and for your patience for holding. Hang on, because we want to get your information. Chris from Georgia, let's go to line 9. What's your question for Anthony this morning? Hey, Chris, are you there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, go ahead. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I was just wondering, are your books for Catholics only or for all Christians, or how does it work?
The books are written for all Christians. All my books, every single one of them can be read by all Christians, and some of them can be read by people even who haven't yet committed to Christ. So while I'm very Catholic, and all my books have imprimaturs from the Church and et cetera, and they are within the bounds of Catholic orthodoxy, I've written them all in it's sort of a C.S. Lewis style, so that, in fact, some of my publishers have been Protestant publishers over the years. So I think anyone, Protestant, Catholic, even many Jews have embraced some of the books that I've written. This particular one, the seed that was afraid to be planted, is published by a Catholic publisher. I wanted to publish something by a Catholic publisher because, you know, the Catholic Church is, going through some tough times now, and I think all fans should be on board. But this book, it doesn't actually even mention Jesus in the text, so, you know, it could be given to anyone.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I am jealous of you for your ministry. Gee whiz.
Yeah. Well, it's a great gift that he uses, Chris, I'll tell you. And the illustrators that he brings along, I mean, to really have the visual to go along with the theme in the book, it just grabs your heart. Even the image of a little seedling below the dirt. Anthony, it was so cute looking, so scared. The image that the illustrator caught on that little seedling's face is just so, you can really relate to it.
The book is a little scary, too, in the middle of it. I want to, all the early Walt Disney movies, like Snow White, et cetera, they always have a little element of fear. Not a bad element of fear, but a good element. And it captures the children's imagination. And then, of course, good triumphs in the end. But, the book has got a little drama in it when it's about to be planted. You know, it's a little bit of a scary scene there, but not too scary.
Yeah.
Not scarier than the movies they're watching on TV.
Oh, please. Don't even get me started. That's a whole nother show. Okay, Chris, thanks so much for calling in. Let's go to Susan from Rochester, New York on line 4. Thank you for your patience, Susan. What's on your mind this morning?
Yes, I am a convert.
Yay for you.
I found with reading the books to our grandchildren, we have 4 sons and 10 grandchildren, and they range from age 2 up to age 16, and even our middle-aged grandchildren and the 16-year-olds still enjoy when I read to them, and they not only enjoy it, but I still find myself, as a convert, learning more and more about about this beautiful religion that I have come into, and I'm just so so happy for books like this, because I find it difficult, you know, with the world that we live in now. And I just pray that, you know, more authors like Anthony will, you know, will come out, and, you know, for our children and our grandchildren.
Thanks, Susan. Anthony, any comments?
Just, I get asked all the time, you know, hey, why don't you write a novel? Why don't you write a book on vampires? Why don't you write a book on a detective story? Why don't you try to get into the secular market? Because, big publishers like Random House and HarperCollins, you know, why do you just write these books, these Christian books? And the answer is just what this lady just said. It's because, my goodness, we're under attack right now. Our values, if you don't know that our values and our beliefs and our religion is under attack, then you've got to be blind. And I just think that, you know, it would be a very poor use of my any talent I've been given if I go out and try to write, you know, some secular, entertaining detective story. You know, it's just, I think God would be upset with me. You know, the talent that I've been given has been to write books like this. And I would challenge other authors who are Christian and Catholic to try to do the same thing. Focus on this, because we're in dire times.
Oh, amen. Anthony, thanks so much. We're out of time. Those of you who are still on the line, please stay there, because even if you didn't get to speak to Anthony this morning on the phone live on the air, we do want to take your information. If you've called in, then you will be getting a book. Anthony, great job on this, and I can't wait to hear. Is it actually in stores now? It's out, or is it it's out, right?
It's out. Mm-hmm. It was a slight, it got a week, or the cup day was October 7th, Our Lady of the Rosary, but it got into stores and Amazon and all those places a few days later, but everything is available now.
And some great endorsements by Delilah, Mike Huckabee, Alveda King, and a number of others. And thanks for continuing to use your great insight into the faith, Anthony, to help other people.
Thank you, Teresa, for having me on so much and helping me to get the word out about these books.
Well, it's all about evangelization, and that's what we do. And again, it is published by Sophia Institute. You may go to their website, the Religious Catalog at EW10. We also have it at the Ave Maria Radio Bookstore through Ave Maria Radio. .net. We're wrapping up a Thursday morning, letting you know what's coming up on a Friday, and some final comments on why books like this can help not only children, but each of us. We'll be right back.
Vatican officials will meet to decide the fate of disgraced former Cardinal Theodore McCarrick.
Pro-life leaders applauding the president's strong stand for life.
A new poll finds most Americans, including those identifying as pro-choice, are opposed to late-term abortion.
And Pope Francis says the death penalty is contrary to the gospel.
News headlines you can have faith in. Weekdays at the top of the hour on EWTN Radio.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Wrapping up Thursday morning. Wow, that went by fast. Thank you. Not only just really great questions, but great insights and experiences that you've had in teaching your kids and your grandkids, and maybe those with whom you're working in the school system, in the Catholic schools. Maybe you're a catechist. But these kinds of books, just simple points about who we are, made in the image and likeness of God, and about the importance of the fact that God has a bigger plan and we don't see the whole plan. And I think, again, it's an important reminder for us, because you go right back to the basics here. St. Augustine, our hearts do not rest until they rest in thee. We can fight it. We can say we think we have a better plan. We can stay in our nice, comfortable drawer and not get out of our comfort zone. Or we can let go and let God. And if we allow ourselves to do that, amazing things can happen. For example, let me close with this amazing. By the way, tomorrow we've got to Michelle Fanley, who's written the beautiful book, co-authored a book with our friend Emily Jamlin on the Divine Mercy and St. Faustina. And then we have Maureen Flynn. There's a big prayer event again coming up in D.C. We'll have that for you tomorrow. But St. Teresa of Avila says, we are tempted to stay mired in our own failures, to limit our lives to what we can imagine, to the security of what we are comfortable with. Left to ourselves, we strike a bargain with our faults and failings, believing them to be our destiny. But there is within our limitations, our faults and failures, a divinely conceived creature waiting to be released, waiting to break through. Does a little seed come to mind? Waiting to break through to a level of life only God can conceive. From the great St. Teresa of Jesus, first female doctor of the Church, Teresa of Avila, tying beautifully into what we talked about today with Anthony DeStefano. Do not put God in a box or in a drawer. Do not limit yourself and think that you've got a better plan, because he is God and we are not. Talk to you tomorrow. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.